Getting late, so I'll try to honor that. But you know, as I've been thinking and preparing for what the Lord would want me to say, I've just been thinking too. You know, I always admire Pastor how he can stand up here with tears rolling out of his eyes and keep talking. If I've just asked God help me tonight to just hold together, and I'm just trying to not even think about the emotional aspect of not being here, you know, after tonight, but because once I start doing that, I just can't even say a word, and so I'm going to try to just keep smiling and, you know, whatever. The Lord put a particular verse on my heart as I was thinking about this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, if you would look there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And here the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, just I want to look at this one verse here primarily. And a pastor told me, you know, to just challenge the church. And I that's kind of a humbling thing to be asked to do, because who am I to challenge a church? But the Word of God is quick and powerful, and I trust that the Word of God will work mightily in our hearts tonight and work through me and in me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." And, that a couple of things really stood out to me here in this verse, but that phrase just kept running through my head, "Brethren, pray for us." And we need your prayer. You know, I cannot emphasize that enough. I know that all of you pray, you know, but we need your prayers. You know, like Pastor referenced a little bit ago, tonight's a exciting night. You know, there's a lot of, you know, things going on, and it's a significant day, a very humbling thing for us to be able to have this opportunity tonight. But I think out, you know, a year from now or 2 years from now, where is our intensity for prayer going to be? Where is our heart, our passion for the Lord going to be? Where are all of us who are here tonight, where are you going to be in 2 years from now? You know, it's always one thing that comes to my mind a lot is at a time like this, you know, I remember leaving to go over to Kenya for a year for the furlough replacement and coming back and finding a lot of people gone. And I just couldn't believe it. It breaks my heart. It makes me wonder who is praying for the missionaries, who is holding the ropes. And I know there's a lot of people here that do that and are holding the ropes. We wouldn't see God working in great ways if it weren't for that. I know many of you are great prayer warriors and faithful to the Lord in that every day. And it's one of those things that, you know, that private prayer closet that doesn't get a big round of applause whenever you do it. But it's really a result of your level of faith. If you believe that God is hearing your prayer, you believe the promises of God, then you're going to get alone with God every day and you're going to pray. And you're going to pray for missionaries. You know, you're going to pray for people that are going out, sent out from this church to be able to be prosperous, to be protected from the wicked one, to be have physical protection, to have the power of God upon them. And I wonder here tonight, you know, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but I wonder how many of you pray for all the missionaries sent from this church every day? How many of you pray every day? I think there's 6 or 7 families that are sent from this church. And if you don't pray for them every day, I would love to give one challenge tonight, to pray for every one of us every day. We need it. We need it. And if you don't do that every day, I strongly urge you, strongly challenge you, according to the challenge here that the Apostle Paul gave, "Brethren, pray for us." And then he gives some specific requests to pray about, that the word of the Lord may have free course, and that and be glorified. Okay, when the word of God is glorified and has free course, that means that Christians are studying it and are receiving it, are obeying it. Obedience to the word of God Are you obeying the Word of God? What was the last step of obedience that you took according to the Word of God? Boy, we need to be taking those steps of obedience on a regular basis and letting the Lord work in our hearts. And that last phrase there, the Apostle Paul says, even as it is with you. So that was really a commendation to the church of Thessalonica that they were allowing the Word of God to have free course and be glorified. But he said, pray that God would use me to impact these people as we travel around as missionaries, that God would use us to see that same thing happen, even as it is with you. You know, this is an incredible blessing to be at a church like this. It is a tremendous blessing. And I'm so thankful that we can at least have the live stream. That is a huge blessing to be able to come home at the end of the day, Sunday, and be able to sit down. And we would usually have a bowl of popcorn in our laps, and we'd be watching the morning service. Don't tell anybody that. Well, I guess it's out. But, you know, after a long day there, though, of giving of ourselves to the Lord's work, and it was always a huge refreshment to be able to come home and sit down and eat that popcorn and watch Pastor preach. Most of you can't do that, I know. But I hope that's okay. But anyways, having a church like this is a tremendous blessing. And we're commanded in Scripture to pray for one another. I remember when missionary to Lithuania, Chapman, was here and preached a powerful message about praying for one another. Boy, we need to be doing that. And Satan wants to attack. He wants to destroy this church. And we've all seen Satan try to do that. And don't let him do it. We've got to humbly seek the Lord, humbly pray. If we're not praying for one another, we're not praying for the missionaries sent from this church. You know, and people, opportunities like Paul and Lisa will have to go out there and to South Africa. You know, pray. We've got to pray. Prayer makes the difference. And that is how we access the throne of grace. That's how, God moves according to our prayers, according to our faith. If we as a Christian are right with God and we get before Him and pray, God responds. And He responds accordingly when we don't pray. It's an amazing thing. Yeah, and through it all, God is still merciful and He still works in lives, but not like He does when God's people pray. And so I challenge you to pray for all the missionaries sent from this church every day. And the Lord just brought to my mind some really practical things here. I was thinking even Saturday night as we were praying here at the men's prayer meeting, what an encouragement to get together and pray with the men from this church. If there is any way possible for you as a man to be here for that prayer meeting, you are missing out. If you're able to come and you don't come, you are missing out. And I just challenge you to be faithful to that men's prayer meeting. And I was thinking of challenging, just throwing the challenge out there for someone who would commit, somebody who hasn't been coming, to commit to coming to that men's prayer meeting and take my place. I'd usually, right up here on this front row, right in the middle. That's my spot, typically. And everybody kind of falls into there. You know, we're creatures of habit. Everybody just kind of lands in their own place week after week. But who will take my place? Is there a man out there that doesn't come that will commit to coming? And I realize sometimes there's, you know, if you're vomiting or something, you know, you just don't come, you know, but you're going to commit to come. Who would do that? I would like to give that's just a real specific challenge that the Lord put on my heart to put before God's people to admonish one another, you know, challenge each other. The world challenges us in all sorts of evil ways, doesn't it? Everywhere we go, there's a constant pull. But I thought that would be a specific challenge I could give. And be reminded that, you know, all of us be reminded, Satan and his forces are steadily working to oppose God's work, especially missionaries, especially missionaries, especially pastors. We need to pray. We need to pray for for people that are serving God in that way. I remember one thing that I learned from my classes in Bible college. I remember Brother Dobb mentioning many times that correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the main reasons that missionaries leave the field is because they can't get along with other missionaries. And we need your prayers that God would help us to get along with other missionaries and help them to be able to get along with us. You know, we need prayer. That doesn't happen on accident. That doesn't happen on accident. And it is an amazing work that God is doing over there already, a great team of missionaries that are serving there together already. And it's a miracle that they have stayed together as long as they have. You know, and I'm not saying that tritefully or thinking of anyone in particular. I'm just saying it's a work of God. We all are filthy, rotten sinners, and we're also selfish. But if we yield to the Lord, humble ourselves before Him, God can unify us and keep us together. So pray for that we would be able to be humble and walk with the Lord each day and not bring any division or any strife in any way to the work of God there. Pray specifically, if you would, that we would walk humbly with God and daily have His power upon us. We need that every day. And this needs to be prayed every day for the missionaries that are serving God. If you've ever gone and lived for any period of time in a foreign country, you'll realize, you know, you'll come back and realize the incredible blessings we have here at a church like this, in a country like this. You know, it is just amazing the blessings that God has brought here. But pray that, and so my point though is that there's a lot of things that kind of wear and tear. I know Taylor's probably sitting up here thinking, I can't wait to get back to Kenya. That's home. You know, he's grown up there. I know he's eager to get back. But at this point, that's not how we feel. You know, that's probably hard for him to imagine. Well, maybe not now that he's over here for a little bit, and I know he's eager to get back there. But, you know, this has been our home. And we need God's grace to be able to adapt to living over there and to do the work of God. So, but it only happens if we maintain a humble walk with God and daily seek God's power. And this is another challenge here that I'd like to give specifically to encourage a missionary every week with an email. My dad, I remember growing up, would always sit down. My mom was really good at helping him remember, too, sometimes if he forgot. Every Sunday afternoon, he would sit down, back before emails were in, you know, available to us in our household. He would sit down with an airmail letter? What was it? Aeromail. Yeah, one of those letters that you can write it and fold it up and then send it off, and it's its own envelope and letter. All in one. Every Sunday, I remember watching my dad sit down, and he would write a missionary. And we have it 50 times easier. You can write you can write 10 missionaries all in one email, you know, and just a paragraph or a word, you know, not demanding lots of responses, realizing, you know, they do probably get letters from a lot, you know, responses from a lot of other people. But, you know, out of over 1,000 people who receive our updates, there's probably 5 or 6 that often reply. And so, you know, we just love to hear back, though. You know, once in a while, just write, amen, good to hear from you, and send that to us. You know, that way we know, hey, they read that. Wow, that's great to hear from them. Oh, is that my alarm going off? But anyways, write an email. Email a missionary every week. And take that challenge on. That's a very simple thing, very easy thing that you could do. And take advantage, use the technology that we have for God's work. And instead of letting it pull you down like it does to so many people. And then another challenge here, I'm almost to the bottom of my list here. Take the Great Commission personally. You know, we're going over to Kenya because of the Great Commission of our Savior. But that commission is upon every one of us, amen, isn't it? It's upon every one of us. It's not just for missionaries. Some are called to go, and there's a lot that are called that are not going. And that's why there's so many unreached people groups in our world. That's why there's so many people who have never heard of Jesus. It's because, I remember Brother Needham saying this, it's because of disobedient Christians. That's the only reason. And so I trust and I hope and pray that within this group here, there isn't somebody else that is supposed to be on a foreign field tonight. You know, obviously God has you here tonight. Praise the Lord for that. But maybe God's prompting your heart to go and you're kind of pushing it off. Boy, there's no greater joy than to surrender to that. You know, God might call you to be a missionary in Africa. And boy, it's a great thing. If that's where God has you, you will be blessed to be there. like Mrs. Carsonson said, you know, it's just a joy. You're going to get joy. Just like coming to church and hearing the Word of God, every step of obedience to what God wants you to do is just going to bring joy. And you think, you know, if you think it's not, then you're believing the lie of the devil. So take the Great Commission personally. Let God use you I challenged God's people with this when I preached last time, to let God use you to see at least one soul saved and added to this church by next year. Doesn't that seem like a reasonable goal? You know, could God not use you if you're a child of God saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? Could He not use you to reach out to a person, maybe a visitor who is here this morning? You know, the Lord burned my heart to connect with Rich here. And just, you know, months ago when he started coming and the Lord put him on my heart. And I said, hey, would you be willing to get together to do some Bible study? And we started an evangelistic Bible study. And we went through that. And boy, I didn't realize he had such a hunger to learn the Word of God and to grow. And the Lord really worked in his heart. And he realized that he had been saved at a younger age, but he needed to just recommit his life to the Lord. And he did that back in February, and then we went through the 12 discipleship lessons together and just saw an incredible hunger in his heart to grow. And I tell him all the time, that strengthens and encourages my heart. And when we're just at the house of God faithfully, that is an encouragement to other people. Like, you wouldn't believe, you'll never know the impact that has on people. Be faithful. And let God use you, though, to see at least one soul saved and added to this church by next October. And I trust you will take that personally, take that challenge personally. And then the last thing I had written down here is for parents. To let God continually grow your passion for God and souls and to encourage your kids to serve God in whatever capacity God wants. But you've got to set the example. And I say that, you know, with a challenge to myself because I'm just a young parent, but I watched my mom and dad live that out. Yeah. And I see the impact that it has. And I just praise God for that. And I just want to challenge each of you as parents. Don't use an excuse. Don't use any excuse. It doesn't matter what your past holds. You can be totally right with God tonight if you're not right now. And you can be used of God no matter what your past is. You may not have been born into a good, strong Christian family. God knows that. And His grace is more than able to help you to be used of God. And so parents, let God grow your passion for Him and for souls and encourage your kids to serve the Lord. I thank God that my mom and dad had that passion to encourage us to go to Kenya. You know, once our next baby's born, they're going to have 10 of their grandchildren living over there. And that's a big pull. You know, a lot of grandparents don't want that. And I know even a great grandmother on my wife's side, you know, I don't think she knows the Lord as her Savior, and she just can't understand and comprehend why we would want to leave family and go over there. And thank God we will be with my brother and his family. That's exciting. But you know what? It may not always be that way. We don't know what the Lord has for tomorrow. And so don't hold on. This life is just a vapor. This earth is not our home. We try to make it so comfortable. We try to get comfortable here. But remember, we are pilgrims and strangers on this earth. That's who we are. And I trust that God will continue working here in this church, that God will stir our hearts. We'll be unified in praying for one another, praying for those sent from this church every day, and that we would just walk with God. You'd let God use you to lead a soul to Jesus Christ, whether you're a teenager or an adult, a child. If you're a child of God, let's trust God to use you to win a soul to Christ and see them saved and added to this church by October of next year. And just see that happen. God is more than able, but are you willing to trust Him for it? It means 365 days from now, you're going to have to be still praying, you know, praying and trusting God to keep using you. And it's not over after next October, you know, just keep trusting God to do more and seek Him to do that. So anyways, I just want to close with this verse right here, a couple of verses I read this morning. Psalm 139, I read this morning. What a blessing these verses are. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. But for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. And I specifically thought, you know, as we fly off on Thursday, that verse, if I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. Even up in those airplanes, I often wonder, as I look out into the pitch blackness of the universe, you know, wow, God knows that we're right up here in this airplane, and He is with us. And I just praise God for His presence, and that we can trust Him. And like Job says, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. And we need your prayers, though, that we would have that faith. I can stand up here and say that all excited and enthusiastic with a great supporting team right here at Maquoneago Baptist Church. But, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, you know, where am I going to be? A lot of it hinges on your prayers. And I just want to thank you so much for praying. Thank you for being such a wonderful sending church. Thank you for the many financial sacrifices many of you give of your money and of yourselves so that we can go and be able to be full-time missionaries. Thank you for the mission house over there. How many of you have actually been through the mission house? Let me see your hands. You've walked through it before. Okay, more than I thought. But I know there's quite a few of you that have not. And, you know, once we move out of there, feel free to take a walk through there and see what it's like. I know some of you have never been through it before, and it is just a wonderful place. So many churches do not have a mission house like that, and it is a huge blessing, and many of you have sacrificed. And I just want to thank God for Maquoneago Baptist Church and pray that when we come back, you know, the next time we're back here, we'll see the same faces out here, unless you're in glory. And that we'll see a multitude more because you're faithfully fulfilling the Great Commission. Thank you so much.